See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us!
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Got a death curse!
It was a shark.
Rattle. Little pig. Let's come in.
Sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Jesus. I'm one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Joseph Thomas Matthew Jans III.
I was trying my NPR voice there, Joe.
No, I was trying my lousy announcer radio voice.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
Welcome back. And with us, as always, is the super fan, Mr. Mark Piscati.
So happy to be here. Thanks for having me, Matt.
And with us as well is Catherine Horan.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good. And Joe, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but
probably not.
We are mere 5 days away from a little holiday I like to call
Halloween. Arbor Day.
Oh, not right. Arbor Day. No.
Yeah.
Halloween. I don't know if you're aware of this holiday, Joe, but it is one where kids dress up as all kinds of things and go out looking for treats. And that what they do is they walk up to the house, they ring the doorbell, unless, like us, we're sitting out front, trick or treat. And you can either play a trick on them, which is pretty much frowned upon nowadays, or you give them a treat. We at this house always give them treats, but
I like to do both. I drop some candy in their bag along with a couple ice cubes.
Wait, you put ice cubes in the bag?
Yeah, with the candy.
That's genius.
I know, isn't it?
That's really good.
Yeah.
Do you put apples in the bag, you know?
No,
and then like just have
never fruit.
No, yeah. You got to put the apples in the bag just so the parents are just freaking out, you know, like searching an apple, checking it out.
No, just ice cubes.
Put like puncture holes in the apple or something. Yeah, or just like slice it with a knife and then don't put anything in it.
Can you
imagine
putting like little shooters of Fireball in kids' bags?
That would be great. Kids just waddling out in the street drunk.
So crazy. It's going to be crazy over here on my street, Evergreen and Burbank. It's the last 2 weeks. It's been insane out here. We've had hundreds of people every night walking by looking at houses because there's tons of houses on our street that are decorated. They've been posting it all over social media. The Burbank Halloween map, which has suddenly become like everywhere out here. Joe used to be jealous about the fact that we have so many people walk by our house and see our house, because Joe puts up this enormous, beautiful display that people would love out here.
It's awesome.
Literally dozen of people see my display every year.
Oh, and God. So he's always jealous of the amount of people who come down our street, but I think Joe would absolutely hate it because these people like leave trash everywhere. Or they walk out on your lawn. Michelle had to go out and tell a couple people last night, like, please keep your kids off the lawn. There's wires running everywhere. You don't just in the dark. Don't just let your toddler run in on somebody's yard when they've got like lights strung up and wires running, crossing everywhere. It's insane.
It's just bad parenting. But what trash are you talking about? Are you talking about like candy wrappers? Or are you talking about like just throwing trash on your lawn?
Well, they don't throw it on our lawn, but it's on the street, on the curb or whatever. They'll leave like...
candy wrappers or...
Well, I'm getting to it. They'll leave Starbucks cups.
Just tell us, man. What is it?
Yeah.
You just get to it.
You just spit it out while I interrupt you constantly.
Jesus, right.
Oh, great. Maybe you should have had the echo cancellation off so that maybe you'd have to be muted more.
No. I feel kind of like liberated now and can just talk whenever I want.
Yeah, no.
Without worrying about... No? Well, okay. Well.
Yeah, so the good thing is I have the mute button. So,
good, but now I feel liquidated now.
Like, you know, they'll leave six pack, like an empty six pack or something like that of some kind. I saw some sort of, I don't know what it was, some sort of juice out there. And it's just, you know, there's just, and the papers or napkins look like maybe somebody had wiped their dog or their cat or cat, their baby's butt or something and left the wipe out somewhere.
It's not
all I know
baby.
Is like a wipey with like brown stuff on it. So, yeah. But having said all of that, it is fun. I mean, it's a lot of fun to see all the people. Most of the people are really nice. Most of them are very thankful. And so it's really cool. So if you get a chance, if you're in the Burbank area, please go check out all the haunts in Burbank. There's tons of like really good ones. And then our street has a lot to go check out. You just come park and walk up and down the street, checking out what people have done.
I'm still jealous. Although to your point about people walking in your yard, when I made my cemetery, I had an entrance to it and kids were walking through the yard on Halloween night. And my concern too, was just like, you know, what you were saying, kids running through the yard, tripping over cords they can't see and hurting themselves or hurting the display. So I decided to make a giant gate. So there's really no way for the kids to get into my enclosed area. And again, to your point about how you have all these people there, you're stealing my people because one of my neighbors across the street, who has loved our display for years. As a matter of fact, one year she sent over like a whole plate of fresh baked cookies and says, here, this is just because I like what you do for our neighborhood, which was so sweet. Very nice. She saw me outside last night as I was fixing stuff in the yard. And she was asking if I could hand out their candy for them on Halloween night. I'm like, well, yeah, but where are you going to be? Like, oh, I'm going to Burbank. And I'm like, great. So now there's one less person in my neighborhood that's going to appreciate my yard. So.
And one more over here.
One more. Yeah, that's all you needed.
Well.
Right, Mark?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Okay, so Joe, what have you watched recently, or to wrap up Shocktober, or almost wrap up Shocktober?
Almost wrap up. I watched tons of stuff. Yeah. I don't know if I can see it or read it though. Finished off Ed Gein.
Yeah,
I watched Dangerous Animals. Did we talk about that last time?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you did.
I watched. Oh, of course, I watched House on Eden.
Oh,
yes. So did I, Joe.
If House on Eden had a face, I would punch it. It's so terrible.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's one of the worst things I've ever seen. It's up there. I, of course, watched Troll 2 and the rest of our assignments, Slumber Party Massacre 2, Poltergeist 2. I watched Troll 1, but I'm sure we'll get to that later. Yeah. I watched another show on Shudder that premiered called Other. Did anybody else watch this?
No, I was looking at that, but yeah, I haven't
it's
gotten
very, to it. I watched the entire thing, and at the end of it, I thought, I have no idea what I just watched. Like, I didn't get it. I didn't think it was great. The main character, this female, her mother dies, and she's going through stuff. And every other character, their face is hidden. Kind of like with the movie Men, where all the other male characters are all played by one actor, that type of thing. What else did I watch? Oh, The Hand That Rocks the Cradle, the 2025 one on Hulu that just came out with, what's her name? Mackay? I can't remember her name.
Oh, what's her name? From
Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Winstead.
It Follows?
Yeah, from It Follows.
Yes.
I'll look her up. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't think it was worth doing. For as much as I like Mary Elizabeth Winstead, I didn't think the things that they tried to freshen up with the story did anything new to it. I'm not saying not to watch it. It was still decent. It was entertaining. But Micah Monroe. Okay. I would have expected that caliber of cast to have brought this movie to a different level, and it's just, it hovered around where it was. So it's like I said, if there's nothing else on, which is hard to say around this time of year, because you can't swing a dead cat without hitting another horror movie. But I watched Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which I gotta say, every time I watch that, I like it more and more. Not that I ever didn't like it, but I understand more and more about why it's such a good movie.
Yeah, it's great.
I rewatched Weapons, which I still absolutely love. Yeah. I rewatched Bring Her Back, which again, the more I watch that one, the more I love it. Mm-hmm. It's such a terrifyingly disgusting film. I watched Evil Dead 2 because, you know, why not?
Why not? It's
hilarious. Yeah.
You don't need a reason to watch that.
No, no. And then, of course, last night I watched Welcome to Derry on HBO Max.
Yes, I did too. Yeah.
Which three out of the four of us watched that movie, so we can't get too far into it.
You know,
but I will say, oh, I'm sorry, Mark, you were going to review that. Go ahead.
No. I believe that like everybody was ridiculing me, like not doing homework and all that. And now Catherine doesn't do homework and she's off the hook just like that.
This wasn't a homework assignment.
Welcome to Derry.
The difference there? Yeah, Welcome to Derry was not the three movies that you assigned us.
No. Well, we're talking 2025 and like films. I mean, Catherine didn't do it, so why?
No, but you got to watch it a little bit. Last time.
I got a list as long as my arm of movies we told you to watch it you haven't watched.
We ridicule you, by the way. I think that's how you said it. We ridicule you because you came and watch said anything. You watched nothing. Except yeah, for
I didn't watch anything. I know.
I guarantee Catherine's going to have like 15 movies she watched over.
She's
the
got
last
mad
few
props
weeks.
Just from watching every Hellraiser movie alone.
That's true. Hey, I did a lot of homework this week, this past 2 weeks. I really did.
Okay. Well, when it gets to be your turn, we'll ask you about it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hopefully not too much because it's going to screw up my pick. But
yeah. Anyway, I really liked Welcome to Derry. I think it was a great first start right out of the gate. Yeah. I hope they keep it up. Actually, I hope the level that they're at just escalates more. There's a tremendous amount of scare, terrors, horror, blood in this film, and I'm loving it already. Some of the things that I initially had some trouble getting around is it seems like almost a repeat of the cast from It Chapter One. You know, there's a Jewish kid, there's a kid who's really mouthy, and you know, there's a black girl, you know, all there's a lot of, like, it seems way too similar as far as the casting of those characters go. Of course, this is 27 years before It Chapter One, so you're set back in the 50s. I love the timeline. They're doing a great job keeping everything period. I'm really enjoying it. And there's a great tie-in with a character from this one that gets introduced that you'll see in It Chapter One. But again, I'm not going to get too far into that. So that was my Shocktober so far. We only got a couple days left.
Nice. Yeah. Only, 5 days, including today. So yeah.
Yeah.
I can't believe we're already... heading Halloween's and on Friday. God, it's crazy. This month is freaking long.
You mean it's today, Matt?
That's right.
Oh yeah.
Yes, today.
It is today. Yeah,
but it's Halloween, man.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
Oh yeah.
Happy Halloween. Happy Halloween.
Yeah, there's people knocking down my door right now getting to get candy.
My neighbors are already in Burbank.
Yeah. Mark, what have you watched? What movie did you watch?
That's not true. I also watched.
Don't mean to ridicule you.
No, you're just interrupting me. That's all.
Sorry. Okay.
I also watched Welcome to Derry. I'm quite happy with this first episode. The kids are definitely not safe, which is refreshing to see. It's from the same director from the two films from 2017 and 2019. So we know, you know, we're in good hands. And I mean, the start and the end of this episode is some pretty traumatic shit happening. But what's really fun is the director and the writers are taking, like Joe said, or connecting a lot of other properties of the Stephen King books. Like, well, I don't want to ruin it. Catherine Ann's has seen it, and it's pretty new right now. It is coming out, and the next episode is coming out on Friday, right?
Tonight.
Yeah.
Tonight,
Halloween. Tonight.
Yeah, this it's is Halloween. Tonight. Oh, yeah. It's Halloween. Happy Halloween, everybody. Yes.
When you're done handing out candy and then listening to this, then go watch the next episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also watched House of Eden, recommended by Mr. Joe Chance. Didn't know how much this film, about this film, other than some it huge slaps. Tick. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's, oh, God. I didn't know how much.
You could tell while you were watching it that Joe was absolutely. I mean, we were all going to dislike it, but Joe, it would be like everything that Joe hates in movies.
Yeah,
I didn't even know it was found footage.
I did, and I still watched.
You did, because I reviewed it last episode, and that's why this whole thing started, was because I told Joe this movie was like scientifically created to be something he would hate.
Oh, okay, got it. But it's by some huge TikToker influencer. I mean, she's got over 50 million followers on her account, and that's crazy.
Again, but, all things I said.
So now I don't mind found footage. I don't mind found footage. I actually enjoy them when it's done correctly. But if you do too much of that shaky cam to the point, I got a little nauseous with
the shaky
with this
cam
one.
Was really bad in this one. I think it was maybe super the worst bad. I've seen. Yeah.
It's really bad. I got nauseous, and mm-hmm. and if you start getting nauseous, you fail on all aspects of scaring the audience or even care about the plot. But mm-hmm. the lack of creativity and the content from the content creators that you know who have 50 million followers. I mean, it just shows like how many. I mean, I didn't look at you know their YouTube or anything like that. I didn't you know watch their videos, but they have 50 million followers. And I hear they filmed it in 2 days, right?
Oh, I don't know how many days, but it wouldn't surprise me if they just did it over a weekend. It's not, there's Jesus. Not much here, you know?
Yeah. So thanks for that, Joe. I also watched Bring Her Back. I got yelled at, or not yelled, but basically upset Matthew because...
You got ridiculed.
I got ridiculed. Classic Mark.
Ridiculed.
Ridiculously. And but do you want me to review this or you want to save this for your pick, Matt?
No, since you already watched it, I'm not doing it as a pick, so go ahead.
Oh, so I ruined it. Yeah. Sorry.
No, I knew you watched it because you mentioned you were going to. So I just picked other movies. I mean, there was plenty to choose from.
Well, I think it's one of the best films of the year.
Yeah.
And it's high up there with Weapons. I still think Weapons is a little bit better, but Bring Her Back is close second.
I'm sure we'll be discussing it at the last episode of this year.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Catherine, did you see it?
I did, yes.
Did you like it?
I did like it.
Yeah. This film has grief and trauma like Hereditary, but I was thoroughly surprised how amazing this film was. This film was absolutely well deserved, but it deserved the same hype. This film got no hype like Weapons did, and it matches kind of like Weapons, and it got no hype, no respect. And Sally Hawkins is superb in this film, and I mean, I don't think like worthy of an I don't know, like a Oscar nomination performance, but I really think horror films like Bring Her Back and Julie Garner from Weapons, I think they do need to get a second look. I mean, these horror films aren't, I mean, Demi Moore did get nominated for Best Supporting Actress for Substance. So, I mean, that's nice to see. But I think some of these voters should review like Weapons and Bring Her Back because those two, they're doing more than a lot of these nomination of these, you know, actors are doing, in my opinion. So that was just a big fun watch. My girlfriend Shannon and I, we were watching it and we were just going, yes, like hell yes, this is a great movie. It's the best horror film we've seen since Weapons that we absolutely love.
Yeah.
I also saw the 19, I stayed on the Vincent Price bandwagon. I watched the 1964 The Last Man on Earth, starring Vincent Price.
Oh.
And that's have any of you seen it? That's basically like I Am Legend.
I saw it years ago, yeah.
But it's what Richard Matheson, I believe, wrote it. Yeah. But it's basically like I Am Legend. It was actually a fun watch. And yeah, I thought he was great in it. I watched Never Hike Alone 2 again, and I watched it with our CineScare commentary on it. It was super fun. And I watched 1986 The Fly. And I still, yeah, I did some homework. I did some watching.
Excellent. Catherine, what have you watched?
All right. So they re-released Trick or Treat in the theater for a couple of nights, and we went and saw that, which is always one of our favorites to watch.
Oh, nice. I'm sure it looked great on the big screen.
It did, and it had the short that Michael Dougherty did, like back when he was in college, that inspired the Sam character. They showed that before the movie. And let's see. Oh, then I saw it's a documentary called Spooktacular. And it is about kind of one of these first kind of Halloween haunts, not affiliated with like a theme park, that was very popular in the 80s and 90s out in middle of nowhere, Massachusetts. And it was a fun documentary about that and just how it came to be, why it ended. I watched an old silent movie called Haxan, Witchcraft Through the Ages. It was on TCM. Very interesting.
How long was that?
An hour and a half.
Yeah.
It's a little slow, but it was good. I'm glad we watched it. I wasn't familiar with it. So that was kind of a cool, just kind of, like it says, Witchcraft Through the Ages. It starts, you know, with, you know, the devil and creation and goes through kind of Middle Ages and, you know, the witch trials and things like that. Then I watched VHS Halloween.
How'd you like it?
It was good. It was good. I agree. I probably one of the better ones of that VHS series.
Yeah.
We watched Young Frankenstein.
Oh, I need to watch that again.
We watched The Black Phone, because I'm hoping to see the second one, hopefully in the next couple of days here. Watched Terrifier 2.
Oh.
Nice timely movie there. We watched Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. Watched a movie out of Spain called Killer Book Club, which was okay. It was on Netflix. A little Scream meets, I don't know, something. It was fine. Middle of the road, young people, someone gets killed on accident. And
is there a Jamie Kennedy character in that too?
Yeah, a little bit. Not as obnoxious. All right.
But. Mark, there's one for you to watch.
And then I watched the brand new, well, not brand new, the one that came out over the summer of I Know What You Did Last Summer. And it was also on Netflix, and it was okay.
So one.
What was that?
I know What You Did Last Summer, the recent one.
Yeah, I Know What You Did Last Summer, the one that they put out this year. With the same name.
How I forgot to put that on my list of things.
I watched. Yeah, it's.
I watched that too. It's abysmal.
Yeah.
I would rather watch House on Eden than have to sit through that again.
No. Yeah. No.
Mark, I wanted to slap every person that I saw that
awful.
Was introduced in the first 10 minutes. Yeah, they're all awful people.
The new cast is just awful.
What about Sarah Michelle Gellar? I hear she, in Freddie Prinze Jr., they're all in that, right?
They're in it.
They weren't introduced in the first 10 minutes.
But the new cast of characters that they have are all just
really. It was that bad. Holy shit!
And so predictable. Such a thin storyline.
It definitely did. And then they set up for more. There's a post-credit scene that alludes to potentially more movies. Which
there's no way they're gonna do it. I don't even think it made money.
Getting dizzy just thinking about it.
Right. And then I also kept the Vincent Price train rolling with the 1958 The Fly.
Ooh, nice.
Oh, I was thinking about watching that one.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in ages, and so it was fun to revisit that again. And that is all I watched.
Awesome.
What about you, Matt?
I watched another episode of Buffy. That was the Fear Itself one, which is set on Halloween. Unfortunately, there was only like two episodes, I think, of Buffy that were set at Halloween. But I watched that one. That one's a good one. It's about a fraternity house that has a Halloween party where they conjure up a fear demon, and so the place becomes kind of like a real haunted house that they had all these props set up to scare people, and those props become real things. So that's a fun one. I watched Halloween 2, always a great one. I watched one episode of Stephen King's The Shining, the TV mini thing, and whew, that was bad. It's just so, really? So bad.
Wait. What do you mean, like the first half of it you watched?
Yeah, I mean it came out and it was like a two-parter or three-parter. Correct. Or something like that. And each part is literally an hour and a half long, Joe. Like it's terrible.
Oh, I've seen it. Yeah.
Oh, heavy. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not that bad. Catherine, have you seen it? Because it's not that bad.
Bad and worse.
It's really not that bad.
Watched a couple shorts. I watched Friday the 13th, the final chapter. Of course, Troll 2. I watched, and one thing I would like to say, with great pleasure, the show Wednesday is really strong second season. First season was fun-ish, you know, it was fine, but I came away from it kind of like, yeah, that was all right. But the problem with the first season was the whole thing was so centered on Wednesday, and she's kind of just a drab character. And this time they have way more to do for the family is involved because they moved near the school where they are. It has very much, they're leaning into the Harry Potter nature, only it's a horror goth version of Harry Potter and Hogwarts. It's the school where they go is way more of a Hogwarts kind of thing now. And the storylines, there's a couple storylines intersecting that are really well done. This is my favorite. I would say the second season of Wednesday is my favorite Tim Burton thing since maybe Sleepy Hollow. It's really, really good. And he directed some of the episodes. I don't remember how many, maybe at least a half, maybe a few or two, a half of them, I think. I didn't really pay attention to who was directing each one, but it's very strong and a lot of fun. So it's and has that, you know, creepy fall atmosphere, perfect for this time of year. So I highly recommend checking that out. If you were turned off by the first season, which I wasn't, I did like the first season, but it wasn't like one of those things. In fact, we didn't get to it right away when it came out. I think it came out over a month ago and we just didn't get around to it because we weren't like, you know, dying to watch it. And we had other things we were doing, but we started watching it and within a few episodes, it was like, oh, this is completely better. This is way better. Let's see, Halloween 3, of course. I try to hit all the good Halloween movies. Or at least,
wow. You know. And you watch Halloween 3?
Well, Halloween 3 is great.
I love
Halloween
it.
Halloween 3 is awesome.
Didn't think you would hold that in the same regard as 1 and 2.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it's obviously it's its own thing. But no, I love, we've talked about this. Okay. I love that movie. All right.
We all did.
Yeah, yeah, we all love that. And then obviously the picks, Poltergeist. Halloween 4 we watched. So and of course that one, I love that one quite a lot. And then also we want to let you guys know, remind you that on Halloween night, our second short film is available right now on YouTube. And it's got, I think like as of right now, like 1,500 views or something like that. Not too shabby. The Decoration, we're shooting our third short right now called The Decoration, and we are pretty much done with, I mean, we've wrapped this on Saturday, but we have a couple reshoots because there was one scene that turned out.
You're going to take longer for the short than it took them to make House on Eden.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause we did last weekend, we did Saturday. This weekend we did Friday and Saturday, and then we're probably going to do a reshoot on one scene where it was just a bit too dark. There is another one I'd like to reshoot, but our guy who plays the decoration, like the makeup, like affected his eyes. And so I hate to like have him put it back on for 1-2 second thing. It's like a jump scare that was out of focus
for your craft, pal.
I know there was a jump scare that was out of focus. So I'm going to give it time. We don't need the Halloween decorations up for it. So I might give it a couple weeks and then ask him to do it again. But for like a 2 second shot, it's a little, but anyway, it'll be a lot of fun. There's a lot more comedy in this one. So I think it's just a different change of pace from what we've done before. And I guess that's it. So that brings us to Mark Piscati's pick, which I thought was pretty fun.
Do we have a name for this?
Yeah. I think Mark's two. Dropping deuces.
Mark drops a deuce.
Mark drops a deuce. Take two.
Yeah. Okay.
It's take two. Mark drops a deuce.
Mark drops a deuce.
All deuce? Right. Well, for my pick for this Halloween episode is titled Take Two. We're not doing Drop a Deuce.
Colon. Get it?
Yeah.
Mark drops a deuce.
It's basically random horror franchises, sequels, but only part twos. Like, I know, like, what a lot of people are thinking is like, why Slumber Party Massacre Part 2 and why Poltergeist 2 or why Troll 2? Well, I didn't, or basically couldn't just pick any random Part 2 films, you know, that we hadn't, you know, hadn't seen like the original. So we're only reviewing two films. So I couldn't expect the three of you just to watch the original. So you just watch the sequel. So, you know, you actually know what's going on. Mm-hmm. So it's Slumber Party Massacre and Poltergeist that we did review. And Troll 2 has nothing to do with Troll. So that just worked out perfectly. Right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I watched it anyway.
I did not. I was going to, but I didn't. So it's on you, Joe. You gotta help us out when we start reviewing
Troll.
I've watched it in the past. I didn't watch it recently. Okay. No, I remember bits and pieces.
All right, so first off, let's start off with the 1986 Poltergeist 2, okay, The Other Side. And so it's basically directed by the late Brian Gibson, who went on to direct What's Love Got to Do with It. He also directed The Juror, starring Demi. What's Love Got to Do with It?
Yeah,
Tina Turner. With Angela Bassett.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. I knew it was familiar. I couldn't think of it, though. Okay.
Do you want me to sing it for you?
Yes, please do. And do that little Tina Turner dance while you're at it.
Got to do with it.
Yeah.
Watch love with the second hand emotion.
Take it, Catherine.
Come on, Catherine. Donald Duck. Okay, so it also stars the original cast, excluding Dominic Dunn because she was murdered after the release of the original Poltergeist, unfortunately horrible, on October 30th by her ex-boyfriend. But it's pretty much the same original cast. The film is about the Freeling family moving into Diane's mother's house after moving from place to place for some sort of reason, because an evil presence is like lurks with them, and they are pretty much flat broke. So after moving into Diane's mother's house, the evil presence appears as a skeleton skin taut reverend named Kane, played by a wonderfully actor, Julian Beck. At the time of the filming of Poltergeist 2, he was stricken with stomach cancer, which had crippled his body, making him look the way he did. And production had to even up the volume of his voice because he was so weak and he was almost whispering with his dialogue. He passed away, I believe, in 1985. Now, I know this isn't as good as the first. I know. The first is a scary, fantastic, wonderful, ghost story that was placed in an ordinary suburb. And Steven Spielberg obviously heavily influenced this film and made it what it was. But Poltergeist 2 does, I think it does have some packed punches and some humor that, you know, resonates from the original. And that has to do with the parents, starring Craig T. Nelson and Joe Beth Williams. Their chemistry still is fun to watch, and Craig T. Nelson's guilt and trauma from the original, I think, carries over to the sequel with his abuse from with like drinking and a couple of anger flare-ups, you know, with the family. And I think the vomiting of the tequila worm turning into Kane is a first-class witness to special effects. And at the end of the film, yeah, it's a little hokey. Yes, I will say it's not the worst sequel I've seen, and I'll probably watch this movie again like in 10 years or something. But I don't think it's that bad of a film. I know some of you are kind of like, oh my God, this is like horrible, or maybe not. I'm not sure. But Catherine, let's start with you first.
All right. I mean, it definitely was probably my least favorite of the three we watched.
Sure.
But it's fine. You know, it's in the middle of the road. It's not bad.
That's Catherine's version of saying, this movie fucking sucked, Mark. Why would you make us watch it?
No, wait till you get to Matt and I.
Yeah. Wait, we're going to drop the gloves. Wait, hold up. Okay, first up, I'll hold off on that. Go ahead, Catherine.
Well, just the other two are so much fun, and this one's just so serious.
Shit.
It's fine. It's a nice kind of, it's not bad. It's not great. It's just kind of middle of the road. It's fine.
It's middle of the road. It's not shit, right, Catherine?
But you're right. No, it's not shit. And you're right. I love that they got so many people from the original movie back. And they all do great.
they try really hard.
The movie. Anytime skeleton is there and you get the scream, just because you get the skull and the skull is open, the music or the sound effects always make it seem like the skeleton is screaming. You get that right off the bat with this movie. I don't understand where they live. Where is this house? And how Arizona. Is there this vast desert, like, right there?
I think it's Arizona.
It's Arizona.
Are they? I mean, the desert looks like Arizona, but the...
Yeah, the house looks like it's in the woods or something, you know? It looks like it's in two different environments.
Right?
It's a really big house. It starts out in the woods, but a back end ends up in Arizona.
Okay. Yeah. It starts, Northern California, and then
Yeah, exactly, because it does. It looks like they're out in the forest, and then they drive a little bit, and suddenly they're in the middle of nowhere desert. I'm like, okay, where are we now? I definitely think the best parts of this movie are Will Sampson and Julian Beck. Julian Beck does a great... I mean, he's super creepy.
He's amazing.
You know, I read in the trivia for this that when Heather O'Rourke, who plays Carol Ann, first encountered him, she was terrified. But unfortunately, by the way he looks, which is really sad. But he's perfect for this. Like, he's just creepy. You just see him, and you can tell there's something off with him. And then Will Sampson is great. Like, he's fabulous.
Yeah.
He also died very shortly after this movie came out. He wasn't that old.
Yeah, they always put that like Poltergeist's curse. It's like people, I mean, the guy had cancer, right? It's not
right.
He was on his way out. It's like everybody needs to take this burst. Right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I love Will Sampson. He's great in this, and bringing in that kind of Native American spiritual stuff is a fun little addition to this. You know, it did overall kind of just feel like almost a rehash of the first movie. It's a lot of the same kind of tropes and things. The climax on the other side of the namesake here was very anticlimactic.
I'll agree with that. Yes.
They're in this very ethereal thing. Everyone's floating around. Carol Ann, oh no, we lost her. And then, grandma comes and, we're
grandma.
And we're done. Okay. it's fun. It was an enjoyable watch. I hadn't seen this movie in quite a while, so it was nice to revisit it.
Yeah.
Like you said, I'll watch it again in 10 years.
Yeah. I mean, it sets us up to review Poltergeist 3 that's in Chicago.
There you go.
It's in the John Hancock. Okay. All right. Here we go, Catherine. Are you ready? They're like two pit bulls ready to go. They got smiles on their face. They're chuckling. They're ready to go. Who should I release? Joe or Matt?
Let's do Joe.
All right, Joe, go ahead.
I hated this movie. It was my least favorite of the three, just like Catherine said. And as I've stated before, I don't care for sequels where they rely heavily upon showing clips from the first movie as if to say, hey, remember that really cool thing we did? And this one does it. This movie, I would believe that Tobe Hooper directed, because it sucked. But not the original Poltergeist. Craig T. Nelson is so over the top in this with the I'm the best dad of the year and a great family man thing. And is it just me, or did he have longer hair at the beginning and then suddenly get a haircut?
Yeah.
Go back and watch the first 5 minutes and then the last 10 minutes. He had a haircut. Hmm. I did notice, or I was reading about their teenage daughter who's not in this film. They had filmed a whole scene where they were discussing where she was. They gave her the alibi of saying she was off at college. And then they cut that scene in the editing room, which makes no sense.
Correct.
Yeah. Let's see. I liked Taylor's character, but the guy's just so vague. I guess I just shut my mouth and believe in him. And once he gets those little white dots all over his face, the war paint, then I really got to take him seriously. Tangina, she's on screen like 5 minutes and then disappears at the end of the movie. Everybody climbs up out of the hole in the ground. And then when he's about to give away his car to Taylor, she's just gone. Like, I think she left the set. Like, I'm done. And first off, the whole movie's bullshit, because we were told in the first one that it was the house that was possessed because the ground was built over an ancient Indian burial ground, which, to the best of my knowledge, I've always been taught that you bury bodies 6 feet deep. But when they were digging that pool in the backyard, that pool was like 10 and 12 feet deep. So why didn't they hit the bodies beforehand, which later show up in the pool? Like, where do they come from? But anyway, I digest. So anyway, that was already established. That's what the Poltergeist is. And then these folks moved to Arizona and the whole thing's following them. Why? Because now we know that there were caves buried underneath the ancient Indian burial ground. I don't know. I don't get it. It was convoluted. I also don't care for the reason they defeated this demon was because of family love. I mean, am I wrong, Mark? Isn't that how yeah. they won? Okay. That's pretty much I don't want to see that in a horror movie.
It's what Huey Lewis said, is the power of love.
Hey, thank you, Catherine. Bring up Back to the Future.
Bring, you know, put that, save that for your kid from, I don't know.
Love how Catherine brought up Back to the Future, try to persuade Joe, try to hit a nice soft spot.
I have nothing bad to say about Huey Lewis or Back to the Future. So, yeah, she threw up a wall. In short, I hated this movie out of all three of these, and I don't ever see myself watching it again. 10 years or 100 years.
Okay, fire away, Matt.
You can say ditto.
This kept your pick from being one of our all-timers, because the other two were great. But this pick really held you back. I think you gave in to your dark side, Mark. I think you really wanted us to watch this for some reason so you could argue in favor of it. But this is shit. This movie is terrible. The old man is the only scary thing in this. And after you've seen him once, it's kind of like, and then you know the actor was actually dying of cancer. They had to like prop him up half the time. Then you kind of feel bad, you know. So it doesn't really have the same effect. So the moving the headstones thing didn't matter from the first movie. Like that whole subplot is gone. It's really this conclave of cult members who are in a cave directly under their house. That has nothing to do with a graveyard, which I guess sort of makes sense because it seems like none of the other houses in the neighborhood had, or no, did any of them? Oh yeah. They all had, coffins rising up from their yards by the end of the first one, right?
But the whole town was abandoned.
Yeah.
But only one was visited by ghosts and had their daughter stolen it through a TV.
Right, exactly. You know? But by the end, they all had their graves rising up. But and it doesn't, in this movie, kind of just makes none of that make sense because they decided to go with this other story. terrible visual effects. I mean, it's just awful. The opening scene between the two Indians on that, I don't know why they would have to go all the way up to that one little point in that.
It was neat, though, mesa. How they had the staircase.
the visual effects in this movie are horrible, absolutely horrible. And you can sure tell that this movie wasn't directed by Toby Hooper. This is basically the same movie as the first one, just bad. Like, hey, let's make the same movie with the same beats, the same emotional beats, the same exact predicament, the same family, basically, who are kind of acting all of a sudden like they didn't just go through this enormously traumatic event. Same sense of humor, just not as well done. Same visuals, just not as well done. One of my notes is, Jesus Christ, this is terrible. The visual effects in the sky at the end
it's not good.
So incredibly bad. Like, even if everything that had come up before it had been masterpiece level, you know, and they'd gotten Toby Hooper to come and direct it again to make it look the way it was supposed to look, Toby Hooper, and even if all of that had been the case and you got to this ending, it would ruin the whole movie, and you'd be like, well, that movie sucked because of that last 10 minutes of the movie. But yeah, and then like that, even like at the beginning when they had like some ghost things flying around in the room, it's just not scary. There's nothing, even if they did it really well, just those visual effects like that, there's nothing scary about it. And there was no tension. At least the first movie had things like, you know, the thunderstorm coming in and kind of took its time to generate a lot of that. They didn't just all of a sudden start with mayhem. And I know it's a sequel, so everything's already been set up, but my God, at least give us a little suspense, a little tension. Let us have a few creaking things happen here and there. Let's beat this one out exactly the way the other one was and kind of make up everything again so that we can make a bunch of money from it. Yeah. Horrible.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having watched it.
It's not true. It's not true at all. I don't think it was that bad. I've seen much worse. I do think, you know, when Greg T. Nelson was, you know, battling with the bottle and you know, that was great special effects with the skeleton, slimy skeleton turning into Kane. I thought that was awesome. You weren't impressed by that?
No.
In a word, no.
See, that was the best special effect in the movie.
Well, yeah.
I didn't see it as being any different from anything else, except for that it wasn't, computer generated, I guess. And I don't even know if that's true.
No, that wasn't.
There were better effects in the Mangler.
Wow. Holy shit. Okay. Yeah,
I said it.
No, yeah, I mean, I didn't pick Poltergeist 2 to be combative or anything. I had kind of like good thoughts on it, like remember like good memories watching. And I was like, yeah, this will be good. And when I was watching it, I didn't think it was that bad. I really didn't.
Well, let's get to the other ones. Those were fun.
Let's waste some more time on the piece of shit that we got forced to watch.
Holy shit. All right. So the next one is the 1987 Slumber Party Massacre Part 2, directed by Deborah Brock, starring Crystal Bernard from that 90s sitcom show Wings. Yeah, she was super cute.
That's where I recognized her from.
Yeah.
You
didn't get that? Oh.
I wasn't a huge Wings fan, but I do remember her now. Yeah.
Yeah. She's super cute. Just cute as a button. This movie is about the younger sister, Courtney, who is now grown up and in high school, while her sister, Valerie, traumatized by the massacre of the original movie, is apparently in a mental institution. But Courtney is obviously still affected and has horrible nightmares. Courtney is also in an all-girl rock band who practices in garages. Well, one of her bandmates invites the group of girls to her parents' condo out of town with their boyfriends to practice in sex and rock and roll until Courtney's dreams up a rockabilly Elvis type lunatic into existence, killing them one by one with a crazy red guitar with a giant rotating screwdriver or corkscrew. It's a cork. I did write.
Well, it's
it's a drill.
It's a drill. Yeah, I'll hold off my opinion until all of you guys go. Joe, you're up first on this one.
You forgot to mention the most important bit of information to know before going into this. The executive producer is, of course, Roger Corman. So my first, couldn't you tell? there's so much gratuitous nudity in this. It was just, it had to be him. Yeah. So the first two notes that I had were, that's the girl from Wings. And the second one was the woman that plays her mom is the mom from the movie Heathers.
Yes.
Wow.
Veronica Dinner.
It's been a while since I've seen that one.
You should watch that one again. It slaps.
Yeah. It slaps.
67.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
The minute I saw the bra and panty tickle fight going on at the condo, I had to look it up, and sure enough, I knew it was Roger Corman.
Oh, of course.
The acting by Crystal Bernard was so over the top. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. She's the character that survived the original, but not the actress, right? I'm not imagining that. Crystal Bernard was not in the first
she
one.
She plays the younger sister, but it's not the same actor, but right. She's playing Courtney, the younger sister.
Right. I will say this, the music that the girls play in this film was great. Was like it was such a good 80s sound. I want to go looking for those songs to just have them on my phone. But my only critique is this lunatic 50s, the character with the guitar, with the drill coming out of it. You know, it's just, it's bizarre. And I don't think that 50s music fit in the film. Like I was enjoying the music from the girls so much. That when that stuff came, I just thought it brought it down a step that I didn't care for. The girls get the time to take a nice little picnic and have corn dogs with easy cheese and champagne, which I thought was awesome. Andrew Dice Clay. That's what I was going to think. I couldn't remember his name at first, but that's what this guy reminds me of. The bad characters, Andrew Dice Clay, but a much better dancer and a lot thinner too. Some of his motivations for hunting down. It's like the minute they introduce this character, the movie goes so far off the rails camp wise that you can't help, but you can't critique this film anymore. It knows what it is. It's a campy chick, slasher film. And you just have to like buckle in and enjoy the ride. And that's what I did. And I really appreciated the campiness of this one. So I kind of like this.
Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, I really like this movie. It was a lot of fun. It's definitely very campy. It is only like 75 minutes long or something, and it still kind of felt long. I felt like it felt more like a 100 minute movie, and it was 75 minutes, but even so, I thought it was a fun movie. TJ is Mark. The line, it's party time, kiddies, when he starts drilling the guy. I have no idea what the rules are on this thing, why the guy is did we ever find out why the guy is kind of focused on her? I can't really tell. No, it's just a demon, I'm assuming. But
she was actually brought up in a house that was buried on an ancient Indian burial ground that had caves below it.
Oh.
So he's just going in.
There we go. That's what it is. Yeah. And then one of the girls just kind of stands there while he drills her. Like, I'm like, you could run a little bit, but she just stood there as he brings it in slowly. I'm like, you step aside and that thing is going to miss you, girl. And then one of the characters, the guy, TJ, is running. I guess he's injured, but he's yelling something while he's running down the street. And I couldn't figure out what it was, but he was like, oh, basically, but like yelling something.
He was just going, oh.
Yeah,
wasn't yelling anything.
Ridiculous. So then at a certain point, they get away. But then the guy's like, oh, I don't have the keys. I left them on the dining room table. And they're like, well, we got to go back and get them. And they said, well, where's the other couple? So TJ and the other girl took off. And then there's these three, the guy and the other two girls. And they're like, the guy's like, oh, they're probably a million miles away. Well, how did they get a million miles away? They ran down the street, right? So just keep running. Why are you going to go back to the house?
At that point, when they're running a million miles away and there's three people in the car and they don't have the keys, what is our bad guy doing? Dancing.
Yeah,
he's dancing.
Yeah, why not?
And pausing for a song. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And meanwhile, they let him sing his song and stay right where they are. I'm like,
yeah.
While he's singing, you might want to get away, guys.
That's worse than monologuing.
Right, exactly. let's see. And then, like, it looks like he's dying, but he still leans over and tries making out with the girl when he was like, And of course, great cops yet again. They tell the girl not to call back again. Oh boy, somebody's going to lose their job over that.
Yeah,
yeah. Officer Kruger and Officer Voorhees.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
God,
it's a little on the nose. And then at some point, the guy chases the girl back into a house, and the two girls are up in a bedroom, and they don't hear all the screaming and racket going on down there. Until like they're practically on the same floor. And it was a pretty anticlimactic way to dispatch the killer. Like she just sets him on fire and he lights up like a house of paper. you know, a couple endings or whatever, but this was fun. This was one of those like, you know, gems, midnight movie type gems. So I had fun with it regardless. And it looked good. Like it looks good. You know, a lot of the scenes, this looks pretty good for what it is.
The ones with the boobs in it?
What?
The ones with the boobs in it?
No.
That's the scene that looked good?
No.
It's so Roger
Brown. I mean, the house itself is very bare and looks like obviously a set house or whatever. But I mean, some of the shots outside I thought looked pretty good. They were well lit and everything, so.
Well, I was confused with that because they were like developing that condo area, but yet this one has like half of a room or two that are finished.
Yeah.
And the rooms that are finished have like hardly any furniture in it.
Yeah.
It's not even like a show home, you know?
Yeah.
Catherine, what'd you think?
Yeah, lots of fun. Going to kind of reiterate what everyone said. Yeah, this one's fun. It's cheesy. It's silly. But it's a lot of fun to watch. The very opening sequence, she's having this dream about the guy she has a crush on. He's playing football or whatever. And it gave me flashbacks to the volleyball sequence in Top Gun.
we forgot to tell you, don't ever mention
shots fired.
Never mention
shots fired. Shots fired.
Yeah, no one in this movie looks like a teenager. They all look mid-20s to 30s.
Yeah.
The music in this movie is really good. Like what Joe was saying, I love the
The girls' songs were fun.
They were fun and catchy.
Yeah, they were great.
And I will say I did enjoy the guitar driller guy. His music was fun too. Let's buzz. When they were practicing the group in the garage, I have to shout out there was a Monkees poster in the background.
I missed that, but that was like my.
I was like, "Ooh!" I had to pause it and rewind. I was like, "Wait, there's a Monkees poster back there." When the girls are at the house and having their slumber party and they having their pillow fight and taking all their clothes off, I was like, "I have never been to a slumber party like this."
I would like to.
One thing that drove me nuts, and I'm Did you guys all watch this on Shudder?
Yes.
Yes.
I did.
All the scene, yeah. I had these really hard scene cuts, and it almost looked like there was a commercial that was going to be in there. Anytime you change scene, it was a very drastic, and I didn't know if that was just how
I think it's how it's cut.
I kept expecting a commercial break, and I was like, wait, man, there's no commercials. You guys mentioned Krueger and Voorhees. There's also the Cravens and the Bates that they referenced.
I think I even missed that.
Yeah, I think I did too.
It's like, okay, guys, we get it. Let's see. Oh, yeah. And I want all of my crazy killers to be bluesy rock singers. It's fun. It's a horror movie. It's a musical. This was great. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I personally, this was my least favorite out of all of them.
Really?
This
is probably my favorite one.
Oh shit. I don't know. I wasn't having fun with it. I liked the music, but I thought the kills were not interesting at all. It's the same thing. The blood was super red, but I don't know. I just didn't gravitate to this one. I thought the singing was so hokey, and they just kept running and running, and I don't know. I didn't really like this one. I was surprised when Joe said loved it or something, but now it's just like, oh, really? Interesting. So, all right. So with that, we're moving on to Troll 2, 1990. And last but not least, I don't know, we finally do get to talk about Troll 2. I mean, this film is a horror cult classic, but I don't think we've ever once mentioned this film ever. I mean, it makes sense. Joe Mann and I have never seen this movie, and I know Catherine has. Mm-hmm. Now, I've watched the documentary years ago, but I don't know. I just never took time to actually watch the actual film. And by the way, the documentary is called Best Worst Movie. It came out in 2009. You could watch it on Tubi. Now, I watched Troll 2, and then the next time I watched the documentary, and I have to say, did any of you guys watch the documentary?
I watched about a half an hour of it.
Yeah.
So I've watched it in the past.
Yeah. So the watching the documentary after watching Troll 2, I have to say that it takes kind of the fun out of Troll 2, getting to see where these actors have ended up. It's a bit depressing involving the actor George Hardy, who played the dad, and his obsession to become famous. Got really narcissistic and kind of got really weird. The mom ends up where she basically has some mental health issues taking care of her mom. That was not enjoyable to watch. So listeners, beware, if you love how crazy and unintentionally funny Troll 2 is, then maybe don't peek behind, you know, the curtain watching the documentary. A little depressing with the horror com like conventions and no one going to see, you know, certain actors, and, you know, watching the kid growing up, and he's at the, you know, horror con, and, you know, he's just doesn't look too happy about it. So anyways, maybe just stay on Troll 2. So basically, but the Troll 2 is so a boy named Joshua and his family, his dad, his mom, and teenage sister decide to switch houses with another family for vacation. Joshua's family goes to the town of Nilbog. And I have to admit, I didn't catch it right away. So I'm a little embarrassed about it, that I didn't catch it right away. Mark,
you might want to tell the people listening at home what you missed. If they hadn't seen the movie.
What do you mean?
What Nilbog means.
What does Nilbog mean?
Oh, Nilbog means goblin backwards.
Yeah.
Okay.
But goblin, it's Troll 2.
I know. Okay,
We'll get to that.
Basically, the town is haunted by plant-eating goblins, not trolls, goblins. Basically, if you eat food in Nilbog, you would turn into a slimy green goo for the goblins to eat. God, there's so much. This could have been easily been an episode on its own. I didn't know it was going to go this crazy and Like, I figured the acting was going to be bad, but it was so bad it was good. Because this film wasn't made to be a comedy. The director still believes, from watching the documentary, he still believes that this is a masterpiece and the audience doesn't get it. And by the way, the director, his name's Claudio Fragesso or something, but he directed another film called Zombie 4 After Death. And it's on Tubi, and I might give it a shot. So we're going to start off with Catherine on this, since she was the veteran.
All right. So yeah, Troll 2 is so much fun. It's stupid, but it's one of those best worst movies. You know, everyone talks about something like, you know, Plan 9 from Outer Space or Manos Hands of Fate. It's right up there. But yeah, the whole thing, you got to laugh when it's all about goblins, but it's Troll 2. So they never quite answer that. I thought the dad, he always makes me think of Craig T. Nelson, you know, from Poltergeist. I'm like, he's the poor man's Craig T. Nelson.
Oh my God, I didn't even realize that. Yeah.
Watching Poltergeist 2 and this, I'm like, oh, it's the same dad, but not really. My favorite line, don't piss on hospitality. And then there's there's a great, I think it's on YouTube, there's this great montage of one of the boyfriend's friends. They're going to eat her. Then they're going to eat me. Oh my God. And they just shoot that over and over again. Oh my God. And so, it's stupid. It's fun. It's, you know, you can't take it too seriously. I don't even know where to start with this movie. Like, there's so, like you've said,
no, right, honestly, there's so many bits in this movie that right? it's just hard to even like, where do you even start?
And it's just, you know, all these just local people who lived, I think they thought, didn't they shoot this in like Utah?
Just, yeah.
You know, local people came out and auditioned for it. And you can tell it's, you know, like the local community theater. they're doing their best. You know, you got to love them putting all their hard work in this. They think they're doing a great job and it's something else. It's one of those movies. I didn't take very many notes on this one because you're just.
Yeah, I'm just having fun. Like, I know like what I think it would cost $200,000 to make and it made like $1,600 or something like that. It's fantastic. But I guess they start releasing it on like Cinemax or HBO or something like that. And that's when it started gaining traction. All right, Joey.
I remember where I first heard about it. I watched it through Riff Trax a few times, but I don't remember if I heard about it before then or not.
Oh, wow. Are you done? Or
yeah.
You got more?
It's yeah, just yeah. Ridiculous. Yeah. It's just ridiculous. You just got to watch it because it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Go ahead, Joe.
So I also watched Troll 1. And
yeah.
Troll 1's got two things going for it. First, a very young Julia Louis-Dreyfus is in it wearing just like fig leaves, like she's, you know, in the Garden of Eden. The other thing it's got going for it is there's actually trolls in that movie, which this one has none. So at least there's truth in advertising. Troll 1 was not great. Like, this is more of a fun, campy, horrible movie than Troll 1 was. Troll 1 just didn't make a whole lot of sense. The music in this film is brought to you by the Casio SK1 sampler keyboard, because the whole thing, I felt like I was driving like a Mario Kart game or something.
Yeah.
The grandfather is the most confusing character in this film.
100%.
I think his name is Seth, but the way the kids kept saying it, I thought it was Grandpa Sith. Like, he was a Sith Lord from Star Wars. So that's what I will refer to him as for the rest of this review. So Grandpa Sith, I can't tell if he's a ghost or if he's real. Some people see him, some people don't. He can't touch things, but yet he can cut off the witch's hand. He's a real time freak too, because when he's able to do things like stop time, at the beginning when he's got to have, what is it, Joshua? Is that the kid's name?
Mm-hmm.
Joshua's got to try to stop his family from eating this tainted food, and he can only give him 30 seconds, not 31. You know, it's gotta be only 30. That's all I can hold this for. In which the kid takes, his own sweet time before finally deciding to stand up on the table and pee all over their food. And then, again, at the end, he gives his grandson this backpack of things that he'll need to unpack only when he thinks he'll need them, not before. Because, again, stickler in time. I love the how they introduce the girl, the daughter of this family, how it's like a Friday night and she's got headphones on and a leotard and she's bench pressing in her room. It was just a great introduction. The mom. Okay. So when the whole family finally decides to get in the car, I have like 1,000 notes for this. When the whole family's driving away, the mom turns around to the kids and say, "All right, kids, come on, sing my favorite song." And it's fucking row your boat. Yeah.
And it's the worst rendition. I have this note too. Yeah. It's the worst rendition of "Row, Row, Row Your Boat" of all time.
Yeah. 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 I never really understood why they were doing a house swap. I didn't realize that was a thing like for vacations.
Yeah.
The child actor in this, again, it's he's so awkward and hard to watch that it's funny. The skateboard that I know I'm a snob, but that skateboard that kid was riding was absolute garbage. Credence, the witch in this film, keeps breaking the fourth wall, which was driving me nuts. She could also really use a good toothbrush and maybe some chapstick later on. Her lips were getting terrible, although she will clean up really well, especially when she's got a piece of corn on the cob with her, which I'm open to somebody explaining to me how she could use a piece of corn on the cob to seduce one of those kids. And then when they're making out in the RV, picture two grown adults making out in an RV with a piece of cobbed corn as like some sort of sexual tool in this. And then all of a sudden in the middle of their making out, popcorn starts coming out of everywhere. I don't understand that scene. I don't know how that moved the story along, but I did absolutely love it.
The writer is against vegetarians. So like all this plant eating and all that. So I guess the writer, she had friends that were vegetarians and she hated them. So that's why she put it in there. So I guess the corn on the cob was like, corn is bad.
I didn't get that at all.
It doesn't make any more sense.
It doesn't make no sense. I know. It's so amazing.
I do have another note that when towards the end of the film, when they were taken on like the witch and whatnot, the music sort of changed. And I honestly felt like I was about to go up against Bowser in this one. The music was just so bad towards the end. It's almost like there were several pages of the script that were missing. So my last note, and then I swear I'm done. Two notes. So the way they defeated the demon in, was it the first movie we watched? The Poltergeist. Mm-hmm. Was, you know, coming together with family love, defeating them. This one takes it a notch up. Because the way you defeat these people is by eating a double decker bologna sandwich. Cause that will kill all the vegans. That was really weak. I knew where I tried watching that documentary Best Worst Movie. I got like a half an hour into it and I kind of lost interest because you could kind of tell where this was going.
Where it's going. Yeah.
I didn't think I was going to get much out of it. I don't know that if there were trolls in this film that it would have been any better, but I don't understand. It's like they purposely went out of their way to switch it from trolls to goblins on purpose, which I didn't get that. Okay. I'm done.
Hang on, Joe. Did the goblins in Troll 2 look anything like the trolls in Troll 1?
No. The troll in Troll 1 looked like a troll. He was actually kind of cute and adorable.
I wonder if it was just they were going to name it Goblins and they said, no, let's just make it Troll 2.
I don't know.
You know, we'll just piggyback. We already had a movie. Let's turn this into a sequel.
All right. Well, Matt, continue.
Did Joe freeze? Oh, no. He's just making the same face. I thought for a second he froze because he was went silent.
resting. Yeah.
Resting Joe
really
face.
Did. I know.
So, I had a shit ton of notes on this, too. Like, a ton. Probably the most notes I've ever taken on a movie, maybe.
I had the same thing.
Yeah. Wow, this mom is a real Meryl Streep. She reads her lines like her mom is feeding them to her off camera, which is very similar to a note I think I gave last time. It was similar to something I said in our text about Stephen King's The Shining with the little boy. He same thing.
Oh, yeah.
This dad is no Daniel Day-Lewis either, let me tell you. My God. And they're like, yeah, your grandpa died. Let's take a trip and help you forget that. It was like his best friend, his grandpa. I said, bloody hell, that's the worst rendition of Row, Row, Row Your Boat I've ever heard in my life. There were some extreme close-ups on the mom for some reason. I don't know why. And then when they get to the house that they're switching with, the youngest son comes out looking like a kid from Newsies. I'm expecting him to start bursting into a song and dance and delivering papers or something. Let's see. Yeah, there's a real subtle message on the baseball too. it's written in green. I can't remember what exactly it said, but.
Don't eat the food, I think it says.
Yeah, that's subtle. let's see. Oh, yeah. And then the grandpa is supposed to help him and stuff. And all he winds up doing is saying, hey, you got 30 seconds to come up with a plan to stop them. I'm like, come on, grandpa. You're the one from the other world that came over here. You don't have anything. And then the dad says to this guy that's talking to his daughter, you don't piss on hospitality. I won't allow it. He's got some high standards.
Hospitality.
Yeah.
You got a little mark in you.
Yeah. Why does this dad have a PJ top unbuttoned so low? Oh yeah. He's like the dad has like, he has a pajama top. I think the kid is screaming or something. They go running in and the dad has like his pajama top is come buttoned down to like the navel practically.
And his collar was popped too.
Oh yeah, it was. Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, I got to skip through some of these notes. I was so fascinated with this movie. The kid is spying on the congregation by sticking his head through a ceiling, and no one's going to see that. Like, you would see somebody sticking their head through a ceiling.
They saw that cheap ass skateboard, though, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah. let's see. I just had so many, and some of them now I don't remember what I was referring to. I loved the sexy corn on the cob eating. That was fantastic. So weird. Fantastic.
That's like checking music. Somebody's box with a horrible fetish right there.
Yeah. Yeah. There was some sexy music going on. Very, very, very sexy music. A popcorn comes out like after they've had such steamy, I don't know what you call it. It wasn't exactly sex, but whatever it was they were doing was so steamy that popcorn started popping everywhere. Come on. That was a bit much.
It was magical.
I did feel like it started to drag a bit towards the end. I'm like, you could have cut this down a little bit and it would have been kept the fun factor going. And I did write, you know, this kid isn't terrible at times, but I feel like it's when he's not sure what his line was maybe or something that he comes off better. Otherwise he sounds like, is not great. So, but this
same
was
same thing with the dad.
Yeah, same thing. Thing with the dad. But yeah, this was a fun one. And between this one and the last one, you almost had a perfect trilogy of great midnight movies.
Boo, Poltergeist 2.
Boo on the Poltergeist 2.
Oh boy.
Bring on just, to the end.
Just so you know, with Troll 2, it's I remember, you know, the cast of Court weren't great actors, but they even knew, like, this dialogue seems a little rough. And this Italian writer, she's going, this is how Americans talk. This is how they talk. So they just went along with it. Yeah. Yeah. That was a fun movie. All right, boys and ladies, that's it. That was my pick. Happy Halloween.
Very fun. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks. Hey, I don't get that often. I think Matt's talking.
Yeah.
Oh, Matt, we can't hear you at all.
Don't hear you.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So, Matt, do you hear me?
Yes. I'm back. I hear you.
I'm back. Oh my God, he's back. Yes,
I'm Matt,
back.
Are you here? Oh, yeah. No, I think I can see you too. You're like somehow, Grandpa Sith.
Yeah. Somehow my microphone got muted. I don't know how, but anyway. Okay. So my picks, and we have a lot to choose from. Joe, are you doing a Miss the Mark pick as well, or is this the only one?
Oh, I think this is the only one. Unless okay.
Right. I didn't know if we were going to do a Miss the Mark Redux and then Mr. Mark Part Redux Part Redux. Two. But anyway, so I am doing a Miss the Mark Redux, which we have to, I think this might be an annual thing. Every year we try to get Mark caught up on, the movies of the current year, so that he can, spend most of the year watching Maverick over and over.
Thank you. Are we going to watch House of Eden again?
No.
House of Eden. No. And I decided not to do Good Boy because that one is still, I think, $9.99 rental. So I thought I'd wait, and that's going to be on Shudder before long. So I figured it would be easier for you guys to check out then if you want to. But these are movies that, well, I think Joe hasn't seen one of them. And I think, Catherine, maybe you haven't seen all of them. Not sure. Mark, did you, by the way, well, let's start off. The first movie I am picking is Dead Talents Society. And this one is on Shudder. I'm sorry. It's on Netflix. And this is, it is a Korean, I believe, Korean film. Next is Friwaka. Friwaka.
Oh, a what?
Friwaka. And this is on Shudder. It is F R E.
A what?
F R E W A K A.
Friwaka.
Friwaka. And this is on Shudder. And then last but not least, also on Shudder is The Rule of Jenny Penn. And that's starring Jeffrey Rush and John Lithgow. I'm not mistaken, you haven't seen any of these, right, Mark?
Haven't seen anything.
Okay. So all three of these are, two of them are on Shudder, one's on Netflix. Two of these I know Joe has seen. Have you seen any of them, Catherine?
I've seen two of the three.
Yeah. So So that would be Dead Talent Society on Shudder, Friwaka on Shudder, and The Rule of Jenny Penn, or I'm sorry, Dead Talent Society on Netflix, Friwaka on Shudder, and The Rule of Jenny Penn on Shudder. And these are all 2025 films, or at least they were released in the United States or outside of film festivals in 2025. So,
get it. Perfect.
Excellent. So those will be the three picks for next week, and it'll get people caught up on 2025 movies.
Yeah.
So
nice.
All right. Well, please go to YouTube and check out our short film on Halloween night. And please subscribe to our channel. We've got more coming. We will be having more coming out. And also like our videos and stuff. All that helps with the algorithm. And like and subscribe or whatever. And go to www.cinescarehorror.com and check out our merchandise. Support the show. It goes to a very good cause. And of course, last but not least, have a fantastic Halloween, guys. Anybody have big plans?
I'm going to Disney working. World.
You're not going to Burbank?
No. It's... Actually, I'm going to Disney World, but not until first week in November.
Oh, that's good.
I'll be working. Oh. I'm just working. That's a Friday night, right?
It is a Friday night, yeah.
Yeah, the owner wants me to dress up, you know, for Halloween, and I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't even know. Like, I'm probably like a TGIF waiter with all the flair suspenders or something. I don't know.
I would dress up as the old guy from Poltergeist 2.
You're gonna die.
Yeah, you could.
Every time you go to a table.
Or actually, you should dress up as Michael. You can dress up as Michael Caine.
Yeah.
Michael Caine.
What are you doing, Catherine?
We're just going to have, you know, trick-or-treaters, hand out candy, maybe have a couple people over.
Yeah. We always, but obviously we spend, and it, since it's on a Friday, I don't even know how late it's going to go, because normally under normal circumstances, we still have people ringing our doorbell at 11 o'clock at night, even on a weekday. So
And we've
put out a sign, no more candy. It's like they don't read it or whatever. But yeah, we still have loads of people coming by late. But, you know, we'll do that. I always make a couple tombstone pizzas on Halloween night. We watch
Tombstone.
Yeah, we watch Halloween, and I don't know if I'll get to Welcome to Derry by then, but we'll see. I definitely have to watch Halloween, the original. So,
yeah, that's a must.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that's it for this week. We will see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us.
Was a shark.
Little pig, let's come in.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Poltergeist. Everybody was ridiculing Poltergeist. 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 Played by a wonderfully actor. Poltergeist.